Joining me next, the literary eccentric and author, G. Clovis Susskind. Next on The Culture Catch.
I've been too long on the edge, and I've gotten too hard cut. Open yourself way up to me, and I'll just slam you shut.
Today's show is brought to you by our friends at Sony Pro. For broadcast and business solutions, check out HDNA from Sony. High definition. It's in our DNA. Visit pro.sony.com. Joining us today on The Culture Catch, we're very excited and honored to have the literary maven, G. Clovis Susskind.
I'm excited too.
Do you like being called Clovis or G? What's the appropriate name to refer to you?
G.
G? Okay, what's the G stand for?
No, well, G, I can't, there's no point in me telling you that, is there?
Oh, unless you want
to
share.
If I wanted it clear, I would have said it.
Well, I think sometimes people are named after their fathers or grandparents and grandfathers.
No, G is just about all that you need to know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to
No offense taken.
Okay. Tell me about your new book. How did you come about writing it? How long did it take you to write it?
It's very interesting that you...
it's called New York Store?
Yes, Store. It's actually not a new book. It is the only book. It's the book.
Well, it's just been published by Bantam.
No, that's just an excerpt. Although people would think that, you know, a 1,200-page book, that really wouldn't be an excerpt, but that is just an excerpt. That's really just sort of a sort of chapters 1 and 2.
Well,
but I broke it down into, you know, more chapters. But you see, Bolano, I think he's stolen some of my thunder.
He's
a genius. I mean, was a genius, but well. You can't really think about it this way. You can't really invert an iceberg. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, metaphorically, I suspect I do.
Now, okay, consider this. Okay, you've got Bolano, Auden, and then if you mix in a little bit of the Eastern European, some of the lesser knowns, I think you'll understand where I'm going with that. You cannot... Just think, you can't invert an iceberg.
Well, I don't think any literary figure ever wants to be compared to the literary giants before them.
But I think you're absolutely right. There's only the present moment.
Yeah, and lazy critics do that all the time.
Yes.
I'm just as guilty. I admit. You know.
You know. Read.
Reads like. Sounds like.
You know my publisher. God bless him. 1,200 words, but you know, I said wait. Wait until the whole thing's done. They insisted that I get this out. You know, and also the people at the Bread Loaf were, you know, I had been, you know, there had been talk, Yaddo, et cetera, many of the people. And some of the pages were starting to get out, so my hand was forced. So 1,200. But, you know.
Well, okay, perfect world. Yeah, unabridged. How many pages?
Well, I have... 3 file cabinets, because you know I write by hand. I mean, computers are just 3 file cabinets full of, you know, some people would say drafts and false starts, but just because I actually take, for instance, the chapter on fishing.
Right.
I have to
admit that I just recently got the book. I got about 100 pages in, and then I started skipping around, and that is a huge, huge faux pas. I know. That is the literary,
you know.
That's the ultimate literary faux pas. I don't even know why I'm admitting.
I was told that you had read the book when I agreed to do that. You know, this is the first interview, the only interview I've ever done.
Come on, I don't buy that.
Periodicals
there was, or anything?
No, there was a young writer, a high school girl from the local Manchester, New Hampshire high school, who did once manage to, well, I'd rather not speak about that, but that ran. But that was, you know, that was youthful.
Okay.
So you read 100 pages, but...
I started with into 100, and you have to admit, I got the book 2 days ago, so, you know, it's a bit of a stretch to think that I could read the entire book.
So anyways, just to go back, so the fishery...
But I will finish it, I promise you that.
Yeah, well, the fishery...
Please don't hold this against me.
Nothing is personal.
I hate starting interviews off like this.
No, nothing is personal. In fact, it's just the words, really. I mean, the fact that I'm even here... Do you mind if I smoke?
No, go ahead.
Do you have anything around here?
I don't mind.
Well,
I'll tell you what. We'll do it after the interview.
Okay. Anyways, 1,200 pages. But the fishing chapter. So, all right. So I took a look at what some of the people had done in the past, although you shouldn't compare, but you can certainly learn. So the Good Soldier Spike. So the fishing chapter. Now, I actually put the exact same chapter, give or take a few notes, 7 times over in the book.
And what?
Because the repetition, or what people would see as repetition, was actually part of the artistic state that I was trying to... I think I succeeded, actually. When you read it, you'll...
Now, you know, I mean, some people may...
But Bolano, I'm just incensed.
So Bolano...
He must have caught wind of it. I mean, there was talk. There was talk.
Well, some may say maybe this smacks of Joyce.
Joyce.
Is that too easy?
Joyce. Everybody. You know, I'm tired of those
comparisons. Any time stream of consciousness is raised, it's Joyce.
This is much more structuralist. This is structuralist combined with a little bit of deconstructionism.
Right.
As you know, if you read some of the monographs that I had written, you would know that that's kind of the mine. I don't hold it against you. It was written in another language.
Well, let's talk about this chapter on fish. Is Hemingway at all a departure point for you?
No, he's a hack.
Really?
Well,
in what sense?
I mean, I liked some of his unpublished material.
How did you see the unpublished material? What afforded you that?
Aren't you familiar with the Beinecke Library in Yale?
Yes.
Okay. Well, again, let's not go down that path.
Okay.
Just suffice it to say, his Juvenilia, that was really where he stopped. Sort of some of the things, I mean, if you look at Gertrude Stein and really look, and I mean really look,
right,
and then you put it through a prism and think about the inverted iceberg,
right,
as I've mentioned before,
right,
and if you had read the monograph, you would know.
Right.
But I don't hold it against you.
How about Fountainhead? Does that stack up anywhere in your literary...
Well, it's funny. So outre, it's in.
So
no, don't laugh.
Really?
Outre equals intre.
Right.
Capiche?
Okay.
You sure you don't have any cigarettes? I mean, I don't care if they're stale.
We'll have to send out for some. We will. I'll have...
That's why...
I'll have Joanna send out for
some. That's why I left New York. I couldn't take it anymore.
Really?
No.
Now, I read in your bio that you attended Grinnell, but you dropped out after 3 semesters.
We'll say I dropped out. Yes, dropped out. The problem was every single one of those professors had their head up their butt.
Well, were they? You felt like they were stifling your creativity?
Classicists.
Right.
They didn't understand, really, that the word is really just a reflection of the image.
Right.
But, you know, I gave it the good college try. It was Iowa. Do you know, by the way, that I did play? I actually played football for the Pioneers.
Come on.
No, I did. I did. I saw about 3 minutes.
3 minutes. You and Chuck, what's his name, the boxer?
Chuck Schmeling?
Yeah, Chuck Schmeling.
We laugh, but seriously, 1,200 words, it's fine. I mean, it...
No, I want to get back into this football thing. And did the brutality of the sport, did that affect...
It was appealing.
Yeah.
I liked that.
And how does that...
You
have a very masculine style in the passages that I've read.
Yeah, well,
the one
fishing,
about the canary.
The canary?
One, yeah.
Well, okay, again, we're not going to go into the iceberg thing again. That I would just refer the people to go look at the Journal of Cross-Gender Studies. But and you can find that. I mean, you can find it online, I believe. But the canary, yeah. Okay, so think about the physicality of...
Absolutely, that's what I'm referring
exactly.
to.
So you've got feet on a field, running down the field. It's cold. You smell the alfalfa. And then you've got a canary and that sort of fragrant smell that they leave sometimes on the newspaper when it hasn't been cleaned in a while.
You got
Are you familiar
that.
With
no,
me?
I've never owned a bird in my life.
Hemingway, I think, if I were sitting across the table from him, would have seen that, because the physicality of the word is what we're talking about here.
Right.
But anyways, great interview so far. Don't feel bad about it.
All right, let me ask
you this. I'm enjoying
this. What's on your nightstand for reading? Do you read other authors? Do you not have time?
No. I reread my own material.
All right, so you've got this opus that you're working on, this
yes.
tone poem.
It's really, I like to refer to it more as a chamber music piece.
And why is that?
It is really stringed instruments being played with bows.
Does that mean that classical music, are you one of the writers that can you write with music playing? Some writers maintain they need absolute silence. They need to be completely in their head.
I actually play music while I'm writing.
So are you, well, you say
I'm at the piano.
Right.
And I'm sort of
You're
playing,
riffing.
I'm riffing, and then I'm writing longhand at the same time.
So you're playing with your left hand, writing with your right, or
I'm
first
left-handed.
Your left hand, so you're right.
Yes.
Writing with your left, playing with your right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is there a favorite?
I really like the D minor chord.
Are you a fan of Keith Jarrett?
You know,
Bud Powell.
I think there's this fellow Matthew Shipp.
Right.
I think he's doing some nice thing. A little
yeah,
simple.
We've had him. We've
he's
had
a
him
little
on the show.
Simple.
He's a little simple, Matthew.
It's a little apparent. Transparent.
We're huge fans, so well, if Matthew's listening.
No, I mean
to this,
he's good. He's. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
He's doing some things, you know. But, no, I think it's that D minor chord. I'll take it really in any configuration, you know, from any pianist.
Now, you know, some people listening at home, would think that this, you know, you're putting me on with this. But, you know, who am I to question an artist's ability?
No, you have to give yourself over to it. I mean, what happens is the synapses in your brain, the actual physiological roadmap of your brain, and I've done some work with some of my friends at some of the institutions of brain research, Columbia and Paris. And what happens is after 800 pages of close reading, and many of them apparently repetitious, I mean, the fact that in the canary chapter, if you're familiar with it, the way that I keep repeating that phrase over and over again, the yellow raincoat.
Right.
In every sentence.
Right.
With variation, something starts happening to the physiology of your brain.
Well, it's like a video game. I mean, there are clear warnings now in the video games. My kids, when they play them, may cause seizures. Are you saying that this would have...
I would like my book to have that warning on it. That's
really?
My goal. Now you see how the strands are coming together.
Okay.
Well put. I want that warning on my book.
I stumbled into that, folks. I'm sorry, but...
But think about it.
Are you saying then that the literary word oftentimes is so we become I don't know have we become so overloaded with content on in all forms?
Yeah.
Music,
yes.
Visual,
yes.
Audio,
yes.
That the written word has really the last frontier to impact us physiologically?
Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Not emotionally, because we know what books do to you emotionally.
Anything Hulenbeck.
Right.
That's all I can say. You're right. Familiar?
No. Forgive my ignorance.
Hulenbeck, physiology, iceberg. Seriously, it's the physiology that I'm trying to impact.
Right.
And that is why if you look at Hemingway's Juvenilia,
right.
You think about the boxing, you think about the football,
right.
Grinnell,
right.
3 minutes.
Right.
Fine. The canary.
Bukowski.
Bukowski, the post office, yeah.
Yeah.
Go, yeah, you're getting it.
Martin Eden? Jack London?
No.
No, really?
No. No. Think about neural synapses.
Okay.
And think a lot.
Well, that's why I said Joyce, because, I mean, I think that, you know...
You know, there was...
Ulysses may have had that effect on many a young mind when they first read it.
Well,
maybe Steppenwolf by
I
Hess.
I read it young. Very young, I read Ulysses.
How young?
7.
Now you're pulling my leg. Come on, 7. Although I did read in your bio that both your parents were engineering professors.
Yes, they met. They actually met working on things to do with wheat harvesters, combine harvesting.
Right.
Which, you see, there's a purity to engineering. When you think about a machine that tears the earth up,
mm-hmm.
puts seeds in it, and then comes back and harvests that wheat and brings it to market, and that if you put your arm or your leg in front of that machine, it will similarly harvest you. I think you understand what I'm trying to get at in the book.
Gotcha.
And when I say New York store, you know, it's a story.
Right.
But it's a store. If you think about a store as a place where the goods of our society are stored, and then you have a story, the two come together. And that's why when I say 1,200 pages, I mean, 1,200 pages is... That's a haiku to New York.
Yeah,
that's nothing.
You know, Stephen King, not to compare you to Stephen King, but he's written incredible.
I mean that with all due respect. Yeah. I mean, he's a fantastic guitar player.
Stephen. I heard
good
that.
Writer.
Yeah. Now he's
rich. But what does that mean?
Nothing. Nothing.
Exactly. What I'm trying to get at...
I mean, let me ask you this, seriously.
Please. It's your
you
show.
Know, the book is priced at... let's see. On the cover here. It's priced at $39.95.
Yeah.
Why the high price?
I don't really think that's a high price. Per word, that's an unbelievable
well,
value.
Are you only going to... I mean, I've heard through the publishing house, they're only going to publish 1,000 copies. They're going to try to create the supply and demand. I mean, you stand the chance of... You know, one individual buying a bunch of them, then selling them on eBay.
You know, the market is really not a concern of the artist.
Okay.
Let me put it to you this way. It will have a life of its own, and eBay is actually a nice analogy for it. I would be happy for every copy to be sold on eBay. I can't wait till they get out there. They tell me, actually, the publishing date, well, it keeps changing, but... When it comes out, I anticipate it being on eBay virtually within minutes.
Maybe I'll put my copy up. Just kidding.
That, you know, if I sign it, just kidding.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
No.
Because I'm still working
on it. Well, I mean,
this
is the kind
rough.
Of society we're in, though, now. You know, think about this. You an artist can release something in limited edition. Patrons of the art buy that. The demand, if it's a short demand or a short run, rather, and there's a high demand.
Yeah. I'm actually not writing for anyone who's alive now. If they happen to read it, fine. But it's a glimpse of the future. I write this with a mind toward people in the year 2409.
All right, so maybe you're telling us something we don't know. Are you tapped into some kind of metaphysical aspect here?
Yes, because as long as humans have brains, then I will be tapped into the truth that will come. I know that sounds a little pompous, but really it's about as basic as a combine harvester.
Okay.
I know this may sound a little strange. It's hard to boil 1,200 words down to a little chit-chat.
Well,
but believe
true.
Me, canary... Inverted pyramid, isosceles triangle. We throw these words around.
Hmm. Iceberg.
Joyce, Dublin, iceberg. It's all about the brain.
Now, I you know, there's you've had problems getting authors to do the much anticipated, not the anticipated, but you know, the all important flap jacket quote from.
Yes,
you know,
it has been difficult.
I heard that you were rejected by a big fan. You were rejected by one of your favorite writers. Tell me what happened, if you don't mind sharing that with me.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, what happened was he renounced materialism. And that's the story.
You won't tell. You share the name of the writer with us? You'd rather not? This is a very big writer who's also... Some of his books have been adapted for screen.
Yeah, well, he, it hurt me. He didn't understand it, but I think the shock of it caused him to renounce materialism. So I can't really blame him for not writing the blurb.
Right.
Although...
What a novel thing, G. The first book to come out in the last couple of years with no, you know, book cover... pronouncements from any of the...
I think that makes it clean. Yeah. I think it's a clean shot. Wait, you know, think about it. What were the blurbs on Don Quixote? Did Cervantes have any blurbs?
I don't know what to say to that.
Well...
I mean, other than...
Let me put it to you this way. Literature is, you know, you've got your airports, you've got your Frederick Forsyth or whoever, you know, your airport novels.
Your Dan Browns.
Dan Brown.
Right.
Those are words.
Right.
But they're paths that we know. They're places that we've been. That damn Hulenbeck. God damn it. Anyways, he'll come around. I don't really think he renounced materialism. But he will come around.
There it is. The cat's out of the bag.
I think he was angry that I didn't write it in French.
How about your friend Bruce J. Friedman?
Yeah, well, Bruce is always good for pool. Pool playing.
Come on.
No, he
wouldn't even write a pool quote for you. He wouldn't supply a pool quote. Well, what was that?
He's reading shorter.
Well, his last couple of books have been short too. Sexual. You know, Pensees.
not a lot of people can devote the 1,200. And you know, I'm, you know, frankly. You know, I could never go into a movie and not see every frame of it. And I don't expect people to read my book unless they're going to commit to all 1,200 words. And then understand that this is
1,200
just...
1,200 pages.
I mean, 1,200 words. Huh, there I go. I wish. I could write 30 a day. Then I'd get blurbs. But no, I don't care. Poetry is something that I'd like to speak about. I've been working on this for about 3.5 months.
Okay.
And the funny thing is they start long. I mean, okay, I can write 10 to 12,000 words a day on prose. And usually a poem like this, and as I say, I'm trying to think of the name for the form. You know, there's haiku and there's seku. I'm trying to find one. So I'll start this next poem that I'm going to read. Actually started out, it was about 850 words. But over the past 3.5 months...
Edit, more editing.
Exactly. You know, what is extraneous?
So it's like a piece of marble.
It's like a piece of marble, and I'm trying to find the essential form within it. So I call this one Demosthenes Speaks. That is how... I roll.
That's it.
No, that is it. Yes, of course.
Wow.
And you say that I am not connected to what's going on. Sure, it's rural Vermont. Sure, rural New Hampshire, whatever. I'm on the border. I can't disclose. That is how I roll.
Okay.
I really... But... No. Point to get back to what you were saying, 1,200 pages, but you can understand why. That's just, yes, that's what I'm saying, yes, to what you're asking. The okay. answer is yes.
Okay.
That is it.
When will the book hit the bookstores? Or actually, well, you're only doing 1,000 copies, so how will it be released? How do people find it? You don't have a computer, so there's no website, so they maybe check back with our site?
I think would probably be the best thing to do.
Maybe we can buy a couple of copies from the publisher and offer them for sale here. We're opening up a new merchandising section.
Well, I think The irony is none of them are actually going to be sold, and all the copies are already accounted for.
All right. Well, whatever that means.
I think it speaks for itself. But I've earmarked a few for the Culture Catch site, and I think all I can say is yes. You've got rising action. You've got a denouement. You have a hero. You have a transformation. And you have words. And just keep thinking about that. And I think you'll start understanding where New York Store...
The inverted triangle. The inverted iceberg.
Yes. New York Store.
New York Store.
I actually owe a lot to Andy Warhol and that Hulenbeck. Sorry.
All right.
Don't read any of his books, by the way. If you ever...
We won't.
And if you did read them,
right.
Forget everything that you
forget
that you read.
Every word, every emotion
yes.
you felt.
Yes.
And with that.
Yes. It's been a distinct pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thanks for agreeing to the interview, because I know we've been chasing you for 2 years.
My pleasure.
I met your cousin at a dinner party. He said, this is a literary figure you have to meet. I kept putting it off. And he snuck me some pages.
Yeah.
I'll admit now that the interview's over because I didn't want to piss you off before. Yeah. But he snuck me some pages. I read them. I was blown away by them. And I do apologize. Having only got the book 2 days before, I do plan, hopefully, with the other stack of reading material I hear in the screenings, to read it all in its completion.
Well, I will send you the next chapter.
Fantastic.
Because this has been a distinct pleasure for me to be on the Culture...
Culture Catch.
The Culture Catch. Very nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Lovely.
G. Clovis Susskind. Dusty Wright with The Culture Catch. We hope you enjoyed this interview.
Oh, just please remind your audience, no Hulenbeck.
All right, no Hulenbeck. We'll see you
and
soon.
And Milano.
All right, Milano.
Arrivederci.
Ciao. We'll see you soon. Converge is the word.
I've been too long on the edge, and I've gotten too hard cut. Open yourself way up to me, and I'll just slam you shut. I'm like hard rolled steel, just a cold silence to you. I'm so blinded in my mind that I can't face what I do. Maybe I'm just hard-blooded, just don't give a damn, 'cause I'll leave you there in the darkness, and you won't know where I am.
I hope you enjoyed this spirited interview with G. Clovis Susskind, certainly one of my more difficult and challenging interviews. And if you do follow Culture Catch, please leave your comments in the iTunes directory. It's always good to hear from our listeners. As well, please check on our website daily for all of our written reviews in all areas of the arts, as well as the launch of our new Culture Catch store. Right now we're selling the Matthew Shipp 45-minute improv solo concert that he performed at one of our earlier music salons back in October. It's spectacular. It looks equally impressive on your HD flat screen TV or your handheld mobile device. In any event, please stay tuned for more smart culture programming from culturecatch.com. This is Dusty Wright. Converge is the word.